Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in the Standard, 4-star review in the Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. What? She's pregnant? Oh, God, I knew I should have used a condom. Will you please welcome Richard Herring? Love to see you all. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rahelastapa. It's the last of 2012. It's the last one, probably ever, if the Mayan calendar is correct. We'll never do. We'll never do it. It is correct that it ends. We might do some more next year. Thank you. Because that one man shouted for it. All right, we'll see you in May. It's a very funny podcast. In fact, the Adam Buxton podcast. I don't want to blow my own trumpet, and that's a question later on. At Emma of England went into labour a week ago, laughing at the podcast with me and Adam Buxton. That is how funny it is. Other podcasters will say, oh yeah, my podcast is so funny it made coffee come out of someone's nose. I made a human being come out of someone's vagina. That is how funny this is. So good luck to Emma Irving. I hope you're naming the child Rahelastapa. That would be good. And we did mention last week, if you listened to the extra stand-up, we were talking about the Willy brush. It's a brush designed to clean a penis as a willy. That's why it's called the Gentleman's Hygiene Brush. And I bought one of these online. This is it. Looks kind of like a shave. I haven't used it, don't worry, not yet. Looks a little bit like a shaving brush. I'm kind of wondering whether that's what... When my granddad's had those shaving brushes, I wonder if that's what they were actually using them for. It's nice to have this. It's for cleaning off smegma. And I got the joke wrong in the first half. If you don't know what smegma is, either look it up in a dictionary or don't wash your cock for a fortnight. That is the Richard Herring, Stuart Lee, one of the first jokes we wrote. To be fair, I wrote it. If you don't know what smegma is, this leaflet that comes with the Willy brush will tell you. Smegma is the result of desquamated epithelial debris collecting in the subprepucial space and is the product of glandular secretion. So there you go, that is what it is. That's just why you need a brush. I think it's a bit much, and it's a kind of slightly. I'm a little bit because it looks pretty clean, but I'm just worried that they've got some old Scottish man because it's from Scotland, the smegma capital of Europe. They had to invent this. They had to try and get rid of the smegma. It's been tested by some crusty old man. I don't know if it's a sexual. I don't know. I don't know if there's meant to be. There is a FAQ. On this, Are you kidding us? Is this a joke? That is the first frequently asked question. And then they say, the willy is always a funny subject world over. I haven't found that. We can't help it, but it's just another part of our precious body and how important it is. Ask any soul. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's from Scotland, right? It's like this has been translated from Czechoslovakian or something. Ask any soul. Yeah, that's something you say in English. What would you give for a healthy one? I mean, it's pretty healthy already. You know, and then another frequently asked question is, why can't we just use our hands? I say that was a good question, because that's a bit of soap on a hand. Of course you can. See, this is a, you know, they haven't spell checked this and or looked over it, copy it. Of course you can, but why circumcision? No one mentioned circumcision, mate. You're obsessed. The willy brush will do a better job than hand washing. Not sure it will. The user finds it comforting. It gives greater confidence and increases enjoyment in sex. I'm not sure. For the person with a sensitive glands, cleaning is no discomfort at all. Could still use your hands, though, couldn't you? You don't need an actual brush. They're against circumcision, surprisingly. Wills, who make this. In our opinion, circumcision was first practiced in all cultures purely for hygiene reasons. Now, although an unclean penis may cause infection and diseases which are transferable partners, we feel the cutting of live tissue from the body to help prevent this is rather a drastic precaution. They've got an ulterior motive. Just cut your foreskin off. Save yourself £28, including package and posting. And I bought this, right? I bought it online. And then the day after I bought this online, and I'm not claiming this is any as a result of buying this product, I had my identity stolen, and someone used my credit cards to pay off some debts at Wonga.com, which I'll get into that, but Wonga.com allow you to pay off your debt with someone else's debit card. That's more or less them going, yeah, we don't give a fuck where the money comes. Yes, well, see, if you want to steal the money, that's fine. Which is more or less. So they did that, but I had to ring up the bank and then go through my purchases. And I said, oh, you know, it's not what you think. She didn't make a comment. There was a kind of odd silence. So she went, and what about this £28 Will's hygiene products? There was judgment in the air. I want to say, look, my cock is really, it's clean. I don't need it. You could eat your dinner off my cock. I've used that as a chat-up line. It's never worked. There's all sorts of things going on. I'd impregnated Kate Middleton. That was the beginning. I don't know if you got that. Kate Middleton is pregnant. Bibber Middleton's disembodied anus is going to have to do something pretty spectacular to upstage that one. If she could have a baby out of there, that would... but it's, you know, it's a royal sexcrement. It's there now. It's only 12 weeks old. It's just a little bit of... but that will almost certainly be an historical figure that people will talk about in 1,000 years' time. What will happen to you? Nothing. That little bit of sex grunt is more famous than you'll ever be, Andy. I'm wondering when a French magazine is going to get photos of the topless fetus. That is what I am looking forward to. I hope that happens soon. I felt like I had a lot more to talk to you about, but hey, what the hell? We're going to get our guest on. You will know him best. He's a famous comedian. You'll know him best as the second funniest person in the Radio 4 panel show Banter. He's the second funniest person from the West Country with the initials RH. Will you please welcome the great Russell Howard, ladies and gentlemen. It's Rusty Howard. Sit down, make yourself at home.
Hello.
Get rid of that if you want, put that somewhere. That can go somewhere else if you like. There we go. Hi, how are you doing, Russell?
I'm very well.
Want a very big round of applause for
it was
you.
All right.
It was
very nice. Awesome. Hello.
All
right. Would
you have a need for a willy brush at all?
I like the fact that you're claiming that you're just introducing it to me now, whereas I got here early because I like spending time with Richard. Yeah. So we've been hanging out for 2 hours, and the first thing he said to me was, ooh, look at this. I've got a willy brush. Like an 8-year-old that just discovered A is cock and a brush.
You get if you get the you can get it in three different. You can just get the brush in a kind of little bag. That's £8. I'm not working for them. You get it in a tin case. I think it's about 15 quid. But if you go for the,
you're like a well-educated pervert del boy at this point. Little, I got Rodney. Show him.
If you go for the deluxe model, you get a bar of soap as well.
which I think is wondering, where does that where does the hair come from? Because that's an unlucky animal, isn't it? Just some stoat that's been run over. we could use that to clean our dicks with. Is there a female equivalent? Is there like a vaginal sprucer that's on the market? Does that exist?
Douche.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I suppose there is.
Is that a heckle or an answer? Kidding? That's the douchebag.
That's both an answer and a heckle. Perfect.
You've got
a, there's,
you.
A, there's a lady there with a really lovely filthy laugh. It's great. Like a dinner lady. It's great.
So do you think you need, how is your smegma level, would you say?
My smegma level.
How's your desquisition of pre-pucial epithelial debris? Is there much debris in there? I mean, fuck, if there's debris in there, that's, picking out chunks of rock. It's got pretty bad.
Yeah, you never see that in earthquakes, do you? Just something like, I'm like, what, just pulling out a brick? I think it's all right. I think it's fine. I've never checked the levels, but
no. Well, you should have a look.
There should be a beeping. I just kind of, give it the once over. I didn't think I was going to be chatting about this. Believe me, get this on Parkinson's.
We're starting.
Billy Connolly, how's your dick?
Well,
we're starting at a very low level.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Asking Muhammad Ali about how much fucking nut butter he's got.
Muhammad, nut butter is sort of collector on your anus.
I'll be honest with you, nat butter is a word that I learned this week. My friend, the comedian Steve Hall, was telling me about it. Have you heard the phrase nat butter?
No.
It's one of those words, as soon as you hear it, you kind of go, but I know what it means,
Nat butter.
I don't know if we've got a brush for that. Would you need a sort of chimney sweep brush for to get that out?
But he also, for me, he sounds a bit like a sort of a crooner.
I'm nat butter.
And he's kind of got songs about his anus. He's not a particularly successful crooner, but, he tries. It's nice in here, isn't it? Nice,
it's lovely.
Hot. Yeah.
It's nice and hot. I've got a suit on. I'm wearing my wedding
suit.
You have,
yeah.
It's nearly 8 months I've got married. I put it on. I'm like Miss Havisham. Except, I'm still with my wife, which turned up. But I'm still mourning the fact she turned up. And Amy Pond didn't turn up, I was hoping. But if you go to Google, if you put my name into Google, there comes up, now they have a little kind of biography that comes up beside.
Yeah.
It says, married Amy Pond. So I've been there. Someone, I don't know how you change it, but I'm according to Google, I'm married to Amy Pond.
Lovely.
I don't want to marry the actress who plays her. That would be a nightmare.
You just want to marry her.
I want to marry the character. If the actress is prepared to stay in character, I would divorce my wife and marry.
I would change Doctor Who a bit, though, wouldn't it? Is she in Doctor Who? Is that
she
right?
Was, but she's. I mean, she's sort. Well, she. But she is dead because it's 2012. She's dead now, but she's living in New York in the 1940s. Is that right, nerds?
Yeah.
But it's on 1940s. Probably dies about 1960.
But the point I'm making.
She's dead.
Yeah. The point I'm making, it would be different. If the doctor's trying to kill Daleks and such, and there's a bloke behind him, just kind of go, oh, I've got a really clean dick. Psst, psst, look at that. You can eat your dinner off.
It's clean, Amy Pond. Yeah. Everyone will want to know about this first, so let's get out of the way. What do you remember about the Radio 4 show banter, which is your best work?
My main memory of it is the stuff that never got in, which is always the funniest stuff. And it was a website called Teens for Cash. exactly. Richard did like a 40-minute rant, like a really livid, angry, masturbator's rant about how some of the girls in Teens for Cash, you also saw in other websites, where they claim to be MILFs. Well, they can't be one and the same. So this lovely image of you kind of sort of like touching yourself and then watching pornography going, how can you be? I'm being lied to. That's my main memory, Teens for Cash.
That's good, I'd forgotten about that. And as I spent most of the warm-up that people don't hear at home just talking about pornography, I look like a disgusting man.
Yeah.
With a very... Who needs a fucking willy brush, I tell you. I'm going at it.
But again,
it's worn down to a nub.
But that was the other lovely thing. I was sort of back here and Rich was sort of chatting, and I was just going to go out, do 20 minutes, just warm him up, bit of banter with the front row, and literally within a minute, you were telling them about the time you got a boner when you were 14. Which I found funny, as did the crowd. But you very rarely see, normally it's like, hey, where are you from? It's just you, this really long anecdote.
Do you think they'll do another series of banter?
They tried to put it on telly, didn't
they? They did, yeah. I was involved.
We were in that, weren't we?
Yeah.
Didn't get picked up.
No. They made the mistake. They replaced Andrew Collins, who was the, you know, the king of that show.
He was brilliant.
They put Rebecca Front, who was, you know, good and amusing and funny. And that's the mistake they made. You need a bloke in the middle. Well, come on, do a warm up where he talks about his 10 favourite serial killers.
Well, yeah, that's what Andrew used to do. But the biggest problem they did, they had us there and they had people behind us so they could sort of swoop the camera around. But of course, then when it's a bit shit, you sort of zone in on the people behind the people trying to be funny. You're just sort of sat there going, "Who's this cunt? Just with this, what's that butter? What's he talking about?" But well, there were several reasons it didn't work. But I enjoyed it. It was one of my favourite times doing that with you.
It was nice. It was before you were really famous.
Yeah, yeah.
I was probably even more famous than you.
You
then,
probably were. Then,
for one brief afternoon, I'll go in and go, "You know, I found a bloke I'm more famous than. It's that kid, he'll never get anywhere. Have you seen him?"
Yeah, but I used to watch him on telly when I was a kid.
Shut up. Did you watch Fireball XL5? No, you didn't.
No. I don't think I'll ever watch it now because it's now sullied with the image of you getting a 14-year-old rock on. If I ever see that, all I see is you. Your Rodney swinging. Yeah.
So, what was I going to ask you?
What were you going to ask me?
Oh, this is the important thing I have to ask straight away. Yeah. The people at home who've listened to my podcast before will want to know.
Yep.
Was I sacked from Russell Howard's Good News, which I worked on for 3 weeks as the script editor, because I ate so many Haribos out there? Was a bowl of Haribos. Well, you have to understand, there was a bowl of Haribos, and you could just eat as many as you wanted, and if you ate them all, they'd put some more in there. But I think I got to the point where they stopped putting them in the bowls. Was it because of that that I got sacked? Thrown off it?
I'm not going to sit here and say you didn't eat a lot of Haribos. Because it was like, I don't know if you ever tried writing jokes and hear a grown man chomping. Does that... You can see these poor little teddy bears just kept fucking picking them up. Like.
I was worried someone would take them away if I didn't get enough, if so I was getting storing them in my cheeks like a hamster.
It was so beautiful just seeing you go. But no, that wasn't the reason. You weren't sacked at all. You know you weren't sacked. It was just intimidating having a famous old man in the room. So we had to let him go down river.
Well, I was doing As It Occurs to Me at the same time, and it was a bit difficult to make it all work because of the timings.
Yeah.
But you went and did 7 fucking series, and I was getting paid quite good money for that. And it was a rough calculation in my head. It was, I wish I'd stayed. Fuck it, if I'd known it. I just thought, this isn't going to work.
I spent all the time eating fucking sweets.
It's not worth the Haribo to stay here. I've got enough in my cheeks to keep me going for the 2 more weeks this is going to last. I'm going to have to do As It Occurs to Me. That's my meal ticket out of here.
Fuck, that's funny. But it's just the idea of you just sort of thinking, this is a sinking ship.
We got any tangfastics? The week after I left, was there a kind of lorry backing up with Haribos? People going, what are we going to do with all of them?
But I got family to feed, Mr. Heron. You got it. But the Haribo, where he gone?
He's dead.
It's gone. It's been, you know, it's gone on to do quite
well.
He's done loads of stuff.
He's
done all right.
He's fucking great. Yeah. Knocks it out. Yeah. Needs to take a day off, see his wife. She's ill at home.
And
does
I got
your
to...
mum, here's a question for you. Yeah. Does she want to see the live Bobby Robson?
Well,
I'm now going to go, because I live near Will, so I'm going to go on the hunt.
When he was a young, handsome man,
yeah.
She looks a bit like... I think my friends used to say it at school.
Oh, okay.
So this was like 25 years ago, but my mum's theory is that because she spoke with a northeastern accent because she's from Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
And it sort of, so was Bobby Robson was from around that area. I think it might be from Sunderland, but somewhere similar. It's the same thing, isn't it? So luckily we're not in something. But when I did Celebrity Mastermind, this fucking is going to go to my grave. They said, what city? One of the questions is, what city sits at the mouth of the Weir? And I said, Newcastle upon Tyne. I said Newcastle upon Tyne, so I said the name of the river that Newcastle sits on. And B, I thought the next time I go to Newcastle or Sunderland, I'm going to be bottled to death. Yeah.
You did really well on that, though.
I did, but I lost.
How many points? Who'd you lose to?
Hillary Kay, Peter Kay's mum. They had a because once you got the bungalow, they said, you're famous enough to do Celebrity Mastermind.
You got beaten by Peter Kay's mum.
she's from Antiques Roadshow. She might be his mum.
For a second, then. Oh. You're
wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
Stop joining in so much. Sorry. That's right.
He's having fun. He's
be like that lady over there. Be like that lady who's just shouted douchebag, then thought, that's the end of that, mate. That's the last thing I'm going to say. Until another vaginal cleaning chat comes up, and then I'll be back in. No? yeah, I did okay, but I was beaten. Let's not talk about it. It keeps me awake at night. I never win anything.
That's not true.
I never win anything. I never get it. It's 20 years since I was worked this out because
best shows in Chortle Awards so far.
I've won in Best Internet. I mean, it doesn't count.
The
Best Internet show. 2 years running, I'm the only winner of the Best Internet Award.
Yeah, he keeps
award,
his broadband lovely.
I'm the only person who does it. And I let I give Steve Bennett the codes to Teens for Cash. So he can watch. He doesn't even just, so you don't even just have to get off on the 2 minutes they show you at the beginning. Get the whole story.
See? I tell you. Next on Radio 4.
But that was a really filthy episode of Banter as well. I think remember the.
It was wonderful. It was really
the producer good. Just came down at the end going, I can't use anything. Yeah, yeah.
was what was lovely about it. It's just like being naughty with friends, eh?
We were naughty, yeah. We were very naughty. So look, you've had.
Oh dear, there was a lot of gossip.
Let's move on. You've had you a lot of accidents. You're a very accident-prone man.
Yes.
I was watching a video of you falling onto a stool and breaking your hand.
Yeah.
Yep. So it was a fake stool. You'd just been shown it was a fake stool. You're doing some kind of stuntman thing with a big burly man.
Yes.
He's going to show you how to be a stuntman.
Correct.
He showed you a stool, said, this is a balsa wood stool that you have to hit me on the back with.
Mm-hmm.
Went through, going to chuck you through this window, all this stuff, I'm going to hit you with this bottle.
Yep.
And then you went down on the stool to try and do press-ups.
I didn't go down on the stool. That's
very... You did go down. You went down.
Jesus, look at that. Is that varnish? This bitch looks after herself. I would never be that misogynistic about a stool. basically the reason what happened was he did show me that it was a balsa wood stool, but I'd just recently learned how to do one arm press ups.
Right.
So in an attempt to show off, I thought I'd do one and forgot and just broke me
forgot.
My hand. Yeah. I forgot that it was balsa wood. But I carried on with the show.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty impressive. I mean, you could tell if you watch it, you can get it on YouTube. There, it's the most popular Russell Howard.
Is it?
Where Russell Howard really hurts himself, a lot of people want to watch, both fans and non-fans alike.
Because they put a saying on. Nice.
Yeah. A couple of people who hate you at the back. Fucking hell. I don't know why I turned up for this. I didn't write that one, no.
But imagine that. That'd be ace. If, like, the audience figure. If somebody fired a longbow at me. But no, we got the biggest audience figure we ever had the week that I hurt myself.
You broke your hand, but then you carried on, you went off a bit, ladies came on. Russell, are you okay? When I'm hurt my head. You could tell you
were hurt. Bobby Davro, that was me.
He went down and he stayed down, that's the thing. You could tell he'd properly hurt himself because you were really down, he really hunched. Yeah. And then you got up and going, no, I can carry on. Oh, I'm a bit woozy. Have I got a lady from the... Can I see the doctor?
That's exactly what happened.
And then he got taken away, and the man looked a bit confused.
Yeah.
And but then he came back and did it one-handed.
I did.
Not for the first time.
Professional. it was pretty... But everyone was kind of going, oh, he's so brave to carry on. It's just talking, isn't it? My hand
Well, no, it wasn't just talking. Because you had to be... Well, you were meant to be chucked through the window, were you? And then you changed it.
Yeah, we just changed it. But then we just carried on with the rest of the show.
I'd have still been chucked through the window, if it remember. I cracked a rib on stage. Obviously, I make people crack their ribs from laughing at me a lot. That happens a lot.
Is that true about the baby?
What baby?
That somebody gave birth listening to this podcast?
Yeah, it is. That's how funny... That's the level you've got to be set. Adam Buxton has set the level. If you're not that funny, if I don't get a tweet saying, if someone says I had I'd been a bit constipated for a while and I listened to podcast, I managed to do a little sort of rabbit poo. Didn't get it all out, but a small amount of the constipated poo came out. I'll let you know. If anyone has an anal prolapse listening to this, I'll let you know.
Let's aim for the stars.
But yeah, that is
dear
true.
Richard, to say I enjoyed it.
But I cracked my rib on a stool doing an Edinburgh show, a bit drunk and
laughing. It's
very painful.
It's quite a sneaky thing that happened, though.
I didn't go off to the doctors, though. I just carried on.
Well, that's because you're a professional.
Yeah. I had to put up a tent.
Can you?
I had to. In this show, I had to put up a tent with a cracked rib.
Is that not bad luck?
To yeah, I think it is.
To put up a tent indoors, that's technically... Yeah.
You said it was indoors?
Because it was an Edinburgh show.
Wow. Was strange things to happen. It was indoors, yeah.
It was indoors. Just mucking around.
I'm just having a laugh, seeing where it goes.
In Millets. Is Millets the place where you get that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good, aren't they? They give you all the answer stuff. I wish the people at home could have heard the Gerry Anderson-based conversation I had. Might put it out as a special one-off podcast. It's 3 hours long. People are still talking about it in the audience. People are still shocked into silence by how amazing it was. But then you somehow infected your thumb.
I did, yeah.
How did you infect your thumb?
I nicked it on a like a fence. Uh-huh. Yeah, and yeah.
Were you scrumping apples?
Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Nick Conkers, yeah. It's not stealing. Who are you stealing from? Mother Earth. But yeah, we used to go conkering with our dad. Yeah, did you?
Where
do
was
that?
The? Yeah, yeah. Where's the place you went? We might have gone to the same places. We're quite similar.
A place called Ampthill Park.
Oh no, I didn't go there.
But this is pretty. Used to scare the shit out of us because dad used to go, right, we're going conquering, and then we put balaclavas on and then jump into this estate and then nick the best conkers.
Yeah,
fucking brilliant. Oh.
So what it was like in Somerset, eh, Suki?
The lady from are you Suki?
From
are you
Wells?
You're from Wells. Here's a question for you. Have you ever been to the big Clark shop and had your feet measured by that machine? What an absolute treat that is. It's honestly, when like, so you're 8 years old,
yep.
Imagine that, you're innocent, and then your mum goes, right, we're going to get some shoes from the big Clarks in Wells. And this machine, literally, you put your foot in, it just goes, vooch, vooch. I feel like Rhys Darby. Vooch, vooch, and then just kind of goes, six. And you literally sat at home just willing your feet to grow so you can go back. And they used to have, like, do you ever get Buster Scuffs? They were the special shoes that apparently I don't know whether they were local to the Wales area, but they were so, apparently you couldn't, it didn't matter how many times you scuffed your feet, you couldn't put marks on them. So all that happened, you had fucking children, as soon as they got out, just like trying to fuck their feet up.
Well, it was the same with shatterproof rulers, wasn't it, of course? Without getting into too much actual Peter Kay material.
Is that a Peter Kay bit?
No, but it's just that, you know, I like to do things that no one remembers, whereas I think everyone will remember this. But they wouldn't shatter, but they would break. Yes. That was quite clever. So kids would get them, go, oh, and then they'd break it, and it would snap in two. But then the manufacturers would go, well, it didn't shatter. It's shatterproof. It's not breakproof. It'll snap in half if you break. And then people would buy more. You know, they were just getting through 20 rulers a week.
It's always a conspiracy with you.
It's like when CDs came out and they said, and I was a grown up when this happened, they said they're indestructible. The first thing I did was try to destroy them. And they were destructible. Yeah. They were easily destructible. Yeah. They had to quickly stop saying that. Yeah.
What the fuck is petting? I'm not allowed to do it. Let's try and pet.
But so
has anyone ever petted in a swimming pool? Ever like to be sneaky? Yeah, fuck you, that's right.
Back row of the Wells Odeon, I was petting there. That was petting. That's a callback for you. That was just for you. The people at home don't know what that is. Fuckers. Did a little special joke for them.
Yeah.
Fuckers. So you've hurt both your hands.
Yes.
In bizarre fence-related and stool-related accidents.
Yep. And they're now knackered in the winter. They kind of get really painful. But I can only do that with my thumb now. I can't make it go all the way up. So it just goes like that. So I could never be the Fonz. For many reasons. I can't do that sort of crazy Russian dance either.
They'd have no
nice
reference
bit of visual
points.
Humour for a podcast.
These people have no reference points beyond 1999. So what happened? Your thumb, you nearly had to have your hand removed or something because of your thumb.
No, I said earlier and you weren't listening.
I was listening. I'm trying to make it more dramatic.
Oh, you were putting fucking curly whirlies in your gob.
Sweets.
No, I nearly lost my thumb because, it was, I don't know, I wasn't really listening either, but it got infected really badly and, nearly lost it. I watched a lot of the Olympics. I was in hospital for a week, so it's quite cool, really.
That was this year, was it?
It was in the summer, yeah. Pretty weird.
Did you think you turned into a knight? Is that true?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, have you ever had general anaesthetic?
No.
Fucking weird. Really weird, because you can sort of see the words tumbling out of your mouth, but you can't stop them. So I was talking absolute nonsense. There were two things I said. One of which was I thought I was a knight, and I asked, you know, if there was a horse so I could get out. And the words are kind of yeah. But the other thing, which is even fucking worse, it's really bad. But you know, yeah. But I sort of said, yeah, but you say that, but it's fucking terrible. But I was under general anaesthetic, that's the crucial thing, right? So I was like, and I pointed at this bloke there, just saved my thumb. I went, you're not allowed in my football team. Right? I don't own a football team, right? And the horrible, and I was so gone, and I can't be 100% certain that I didn't make that selection based on race. That's the worst thing, right? Like, but it's not me, it's the drug. So that's why I can never take proper hardcore drugs, because general anaesthetic turned me into a racist football manager. Like, you just won't fit in, lad.
Well,
yeah, so that's much worse, eh?
I have a hand-based question for you.
Excellent. Look at the way that's perched.
I have emergency questions for if the interview isn't going very well.
Oh, shit.
But it's going really well, but I just, because of the house, so I noticed the hand connection that I thought I would use.
So you seamlessly linked to that.
Yeah. I love the way that I'm looking for this to read out when I very well know what it is.
What the people at home, you can't see how neat his handwriting is. It's all lovely.
It's all capital letters, so I can read it. It's in my Slytherin notebook. Bet you're a bit jealous of that. Which house would you be in if you were in Harry Potter?
I'd like to say Gryffindor, but I fear Hufflepuff.
If you had to have... what was the question? It's not written down.
If
you had a choice. It's the first question I've seen now, but I haven't written it down.
How scary would it have been, like, for the children, you fucking walking around the Harry Potter Museum?
With my Slytherin thing going, I hate Harry Potter. That's why I've got this.
Yeah, that gets you out of it, doesn't it? Two, please.
If you had to have to choose between a hand made of ham...
Yep.
Or an armpit that dispensed sun cream. You can only have either or, but let me just give you a few more conditions. The ham hand, you could eat it. It wouldn't hurt. Some people were wondering if it would hurt. It wouldn't hurt, obviously, that would be terrible. Mm-hmm. You could eat it or feed, you know, some poor children with it, or whatever you wanted to do. It wouldn't grow back immediately, but it would grow back, and it would operate as a hand in the times when you weren't used eating it. But obviously, if you ate a lot of it, if you ate your thumb off, you could eat your thumb off and see what that would have been like to have no thumb.
Obviously, yeah.
But then you'd have to wait for the thumb to grow back before you had full utility of the hand.
If it got hot, would my fingernails turn into frazzles? Because that'd be, I'm just licking them.
Then, yeah, let's say that would happen.
Well, I'd, or...
Wait.
You know. Let's take this question seriously. Bloody being stupid.
And also maybe your skin might become like pork scratchings, as well. That would be kind of thought of that. So there's lots of things you could do with it. You could just shave off a little bit of wafer thin ham, put it in a sandwich. Wouldn't make that much difference.
All sounds good.
Yeah. Or you've got an armpit and you can... It's the factor of your choice, but you can't change the factor once you've chosen the factor. And you could only have enough for the use of you and your close family. It's not like...
That'd be great. Just a family of five, really smug. I guess how much we spent on sun lotion. Fuck all, the kid's got a gift. Sure, he's the shittest of all the X-Men, but he's got a gift.
Which would you choose?
The ham. Yeah,
ham.
Without a doubt, it'd be terrific. And also, it would taste nice. I like bacon, that'd be lovely. You can have it in your sandwiches. And also, if you committed a horrendous crime, gnaw your hand off, run away. Couldn't have been me, mate. I've only got one hand. That bloke had two. And you're sitting easy.
How about you?
What would you go for?
I haven't really thought about it.
What was lovely then? There was a lovely little moment when your eyes went, I'm going to say something funny. And then you bloody well did. You absolute smasher.
Good. While we're on the emergency questions...
Because the interview's going well.
So you'll be wishing we went back to the Willy. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock?
Yes.
Yeah. How did you get on?
I did all right.
But then it was... I was so fetid with smegma that I gagged.
It's like the end off. Fucking Babel, isn't it? I did all right, you know.
Yeah. You did all right.
Yeah.
How many inches did you get in?
I didn't get any inches in. No. I was away from it, but it was, you know, it was sort of looming. You know.
As it tends to do.
My friend Steve can suck his own cock.
Can he?
Yeah. So there you go.
A few people can. I'll ask another one.
If it tasted of bacon, I'd have tried a bit after.
You could have a cock made of ham, but you could only eat it by self-fellatio. Would you prefer that to the ham hand? Would that trump the ham hand?
I'm not thinking about it. I'm just thinking about during sex, the smell would be delicious, wouldn't it? Oh, either Russell's pumping or someone's got a hog roast in their garden. Oh, that smelled lovely. Bacon's wonderful, isn't it?
It's nice. If you had to have sex with an animal,
if you had to,
which animal? But you are allowed. The people forcing you to have sex with the animal, because I'm presuming, even though you're from Somerset, that would be unwillingly. Which animal would you choose? It can be a species or an individual animal. Well,
I guess the same reason. If I had to fuck a man, it would be Pavarotti. For the same reason, it would be a walrus, just to see what kind of range you could get out of it. Like, if you fuck Pavarotti right, just... Obviously, when he was alive, you know. I wouldn't anymore. What? That was really weird. It was a laugh of one, like, solitary round of blood. No, never do that. I would put it to you that if you bang a living Pavarotti right, you could bring another whale to London. You know? If you're in London. Yeah. Otherwise, if you're in Milan, it'd probably go to Milan.
While I'm on the emergency questions, one of my emergency questions has become quite the topical question due to two news stories that there has been a Bigfoot seen in Tunbridge Wells.
Yes.
And also they've found some hair off a Bigfoot and got the DNA of a Bigfoot, and it might be a real thing.
Yeah.
It's not. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No.
No. No one
but
has.
I have seen a news report about a man in America that's seen a Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah?
And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because this is crazy bloke. And he's like, I've seen this creature, and he came over to me, and he chopped off my beard. Right? It's a Bigfoot, and he's got scissors. And then he put it in my mouth, the beard, and forced me to eat it. And you're like, fucking brilliant. What sort of lunatic Bigfoot would do? Fucking, I'm bored killing chickens and scaring them. I'm going to make some fat bloke eat his own beard.
That is not the question I asked you.
I apologise.
That will be edited out. Didn't ask you, have you ever seen a man who's seen a Bigfoot? That's the next question. I usually ask these the other way around.
He's really excited, this book. He's great.
He doesn't realise that no one at home can hear him. He thinks he's in the podcast, but he isn't. It's just all the people at home can hear is... so the joke, so he's going to be going, I was on.
Yeah, but that would be awful, because the people at home would go, oh, there's some bloke dying. Everyone's laughing, having a great...
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No.
Have any of your siblings ever seen a ghost?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, there you go. I thought this would come up.
Because my auntie... no, she's my cousin. they have regular seance around my house to try and get rid of the spirits, because they believe in all that. And my cousin Tracy and Sonia and Carly, they found a bloke that was walking up and down my corridor.
Can I just define sibling to you? It means brother or sister.
Oh, right.
So again,
I've brought it
again,
out
again. You're answering a different question than the one I've asked. I'm not interested.
No, you said anyone in my family.
I'm not interested. No, I said any of your siblings.
All right, okay.
And now you have again two misanswered questions. I would like to see your chances on Celebrity Mastermind. Yeah. John Humphreys wouldn't like it if you just start answering different questions. Like me going, Newcastle on Tyne. What? I thought I could say any city on any river.
It was a kid at our school that did that. You know, in the school reports in year 7, when you had to kind of like you the teacher appraised you, and then you put your version of how things have gone. And it was for IT, for Mrs. Goodwin. And John Ferradville went, "I don't really care for IT. However, I excel at the long jump." And then I like this massive paragraph of how good he was at jumping. That'd be quite good to do that at Mastermind, wouldn't it? It's a good question, John. But I'd rather talk about the fact that I can secrete suntan lotion.
Have any of your cousins ever seen a ghost?
I wouldn't like to say.
Yeah, they do a séance and they've been expelling.
No, like just in the corridor. And that, and they
just in the corridor?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that where the ghosts are?
Yeah, apparently.
Is it an old house?
No, it was just some flat, and they kind of... some bloke, he's a right nasty bastard. He's walking up and down, scaring everybody. But they go to those kind of, you know, the seances where it's kind of like, it's horrible. But it's that awkward thing. Like, if you need that to get through life and you believe that your loved one is talking to you, fantastic. It's no business of mine to mock, yet they are arseholes, the people that do that, aren't they? Because it's always the same. It's always like, I'm getting a John. And is there a Mary here? There's obviously going to be a fucking Mary.
Yes, me!
Mary John says he loves you. And Mary's hopeful and full of joy, but they never have. We've got a Dave here. Me and my brother on the other day kind of go, Linda, Dave says get rid of the laptop. Collapse the fuck dungeon. Collapse the fuck dungeon. They're on to me. Because you would have had Jimmy Savile from Beyond the Grave, yeah. Just kind of go, just create a diversion or something. I've been up to no good.
He didn't. He did it from before he was in the grave. He wrote about it on his autobiography.
And by all accounts, he was into those from within. Huh? Yeah, he used to bury, like, dead, he used to fuck dead bodies.
Yeah. I broke that story.
You broke it, did you? Fucking hell. Oh, now that's something we have to do. To rival Sky News and BBC 24. Just Herring 24. Just you in your pants, just making up stories. Hello, you join me playing snooker with myself live. That would fuck me. Everyone we go to then news, just like that. What does Richard think about it? Where did you break that then?
I wrote about it in my blog, and then the Evening Standard picked it up about 4 days later. Loads of people said, I think that's because of your blog that you wrote about it. But there's no way that you can prove that one's true, that he had sex with dead people. It was clever, because unless we can talk to people from beyond the grave, because it's a crime where the victim remains silent, unless you're doing it in front of some other people.
Have you seen Sam Kinison's routine about that?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You should have a look at that on YouTube. It's well funny. But there you go.
Give the story to me.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was laughing so much when he was dying.
Oh, that's how
when
quickly
he was a dead body.
Yeah, how quickly you can turn. It is a very good routine. I hope the same happened to him.
He ironically died in a drink driving accident, and he was always going on about how good drink driving was.
Yeah, yeah.
So, ha ha ha.
Cut to 20 years' time. Richard Herring today was killed by a truckload of Haribo.
Rich Herring was impaled on on the wrong end of the willy brush.
Yeah.
Doctors still don't know what he was trying to do.
Of all the corpses anyone's ever seen, he's said to have the tidiest, cleanest penis ever. But fuck, it smelt of sweets. Probably stuffing him under your penis to sneak as many out as possible. See you next week, Rich. Yeah, next week. I've got so many sweets in my dick.
You can stretch your foreskin to get more room in there as well. If you inflate it, if you hold the end shut and inflate it with wee, that's how to do it. If you want to really be serious about smuggling, I mean Haribo's, or you could work in the National Gallery. They probably don't check that. So if you can get your foreskin big enough to get round the Laughing Cavalier or whatever's in there. give me a scan. Scan me all the way. Well, it can't be in his cock. Wouldn't fit in. You do talk about your family a lot, which I enjoy. There was a bit at the end of one of the good news that I saw on Dave that you hate, apparently.
I hate what?
You hate Dave. You said that in the
Guardian. Yeah. That's not like chore to pick up and try and bring me down. mentioning money all the fucking time.
But I saw your auntie was saying at the end of the one show, your auntie was going on about your lazy eye, saying it was disgusting.
Yeah.
And that you shouldn't be on TV.
Correct.
It's pretty much because that did that really happen?
She didn't quite say it like that, but she said the trouble with your biffy eye, as it's known, is that you'd concentrate on that, and you can't concentrate what you're saying because you're following it around like that. And you're like, where is he looking? Is he looking? He's looking at some other world. It's interesting, one about the badger line earlier as well.
Yeah.
Because my nan, that's one of her things to talk about, the four different routes that you can get to Midsummer Norton via the badger line.
Yeah. So there
you
go. We were talking about this before the podcast.
I apologise.
That's right. I'm just letting people at home know. We're talking about the Somerset bus system. I was discussing it with Suki from Wells.
Correct.
You used to get that 126 all the time. One time, when I was...
Shabba! Nice.
He does
them all.
This is...
Do check Academus and Pliers.
Very exciting Wells. It was an annoying bus because it went round Locking. That was the problem. When you went to Western Supermare, right? It went round Locking, which where the airfield space was. It took it... You were nearly in Western Supermare. You think, oh, I'm nearly there. Get on the... I can't wait to get on the old 2P arcade. You put it in and then it comes down and then you get some 2Ps out the bottom. I can't wait to play that. And then it would go drive all the way around Locking and stop about three or four times at Locking. You were still 20 minutes away. But one time, the bus, the 126 before the one I got on... If I'd just gone on half an hour earlier, I'd have been on this bus, had driven off the road and gone down a bank into the field.
Shit.
Most exciting thing that ever happened in... actually wasn't in Somerset then, because Western isn't in Somerset. Was beyond
were
Somerset.
Were people hurt?
Don't think so, but it was still exciting. I saw it in the field, went, oh. Imagine if I'd been in that, I'd have been going down. Ah. Been terrified. I just went to Western, went to the arcades, had some chips, probably... That was the most exciting thing that ever happened in the 126.
My nan tells similar stories. But really meticulous stories, like so beautiful. Like, and she does it year on year. Kind of, there's four different ways you can get in the Midsummer Norton. You can get the Badger Line straight in, and you can get the Badger Line back. Sometimes our Jonathan did give us a lift, and you'd get a lift off our Jonathan and then get the Badger Line back. Sometimes you can walk halfway, catch the Badger Line, then get a lift off our Jonathan, and then you literally just go, stop talking now.
Or you just don't go into town at all.
She's a very funny lady. She wants to do something. She's not very well at the minute, so I guess that's why I'm chatting about it. But I did a dissertation at university about whether it's ethically right to advertise to children. And my nan went, what are you doing? I went, I'm just doing this thing about whether it's right to advertise to kids. It's got to be 10,000 words. And she went, it's not. So, at the end of my 10,000 words, I put, oh, it's not. Nancy Veal, 2001. Yeah, she's pretty sweet.
Nice, isn't it? Nice when you got your gran. And you were in a... but talking of buses driving the downfields.
Yeah, well, nice link. Look at that.
You were... Because I've always worried about this when I've been driving around the country. I'm sort of amazed more comedians aren't wiped out and killed in car accidents. It does happen very, very occasionally. Sam Kinison.
Sure.
Funny enough, but and Josie Long was in quite a bad car accident but survived.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Frankie Boyle will be upset. moved in and writes about it in a book in quite an unpleasant way. You were in a proper car accident when you were driving before you were like about 4 or 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've been in three.
Have you?
Yeah.
You're so accident prone. What's wrong with you?
I'm a fucking twat. I used to support Kitson on tour, and we had to get trains because we had to stop me driving.
Right.
Because I'd go, hey, do you want to see me pull some movie? I used to call it movie driving, which is where I'd sort of go through like red lights and stuff.
Right.
He wasn't into it. Fuck that, you stupid cunt!
We'd laugh.
The worst accident I had was totally my fault. I went into the back of a lady at like 50. Because I was sort of... And the worst thing
was
is...
Was she in a car or was she just... Is it just a lady? That's basically manslaughter or murder.
She was in a stationary car and I fucking clumped it. It was awful. And it hit a few other cars and people were coming out of their cars and two of them had babies and it's fucking horrendous. Worst.
Because of the accident? Was it like, like the vodka? Oh my God.
Yeah.
I wasn't even pregnant.
It was awful. Yeah. It was terrible. It was really shit.
Did you get sent to prison for that particular...
No, do you know the worst thing? It was absolutely... I got... Nothing. I had to go to a drive improvement course.
Joke. Don't drive into the back of cars.
But it was just this fucking ludicrous twat that would ask you questions like, kind of go, right, if you're approaching a roundabout, should you A, slow down, or B, crash your car and head by a tree? And you're like, A, correct, you may go. But and he'd ask us these questions. It's like he'd never seen David Brent in the office, and he was asked these questions about, like, what should you... like, he'd sort of show these little pictures, and how should you behave? Like, and you kind of go, oh, I'd probably slow my car down, because I'd assume that this lady is going to sort of go over there. And I'd be fine. And he went, assume, can I just stop you there? And he wrote the words, assume. And he went, assume, it makes an arse out of you and me. Like that. And you're like, yeah, fucking knob. But I didn't get any points. But I got,
no way.
I got 3 points for like going 37 in the 30, but nothing for that, and I felt really bad about it, but obviously delighted.
Yes.
Because I could still drive.
And yeah, were the babies all right?
Everyone was fine. Yeah, in all seriousness, it was awful. Like, yeah. Just fucking, and it was just before the Edinburgh Festival, and it just kind of made you realise, you know, what matters.
If only I'd done it 4 months before, I could have done a show about it.
Yeah. I don't need a framework.
Well, look, it's not going as well as usual, the podcast, I'd have to say. No offence to you.
That's all right, man.
But I think I've thought of a way to make it better.
To improve it?
Yeah.
Is it like a Haribo monster?
It could be that. I think the way to improve it is for us to put a Shrek in this podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome a Shrek? Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully. Is he there?
No.
It's a Shrek. It's an actual Shrek. This will liven it up. There he is. He's showboating. He's playing to the crowd. He's dressed in very good Shrek clothes.
Yeah.
Not just... It's a bit disconcerting. You can see his...
Yeah, you can.
You can see that Shrek is the kind of Shrek who would require a willy brush if he didn't clean it.
Yeah, you can see it all. You can...
It's a Shrek, shut up. Hello, a Shrek. Is that working, that microphone?
Can you hear me?
Yep, good. There it is.
I'll take you one, sir. Right.
So, it's a guest. I hope you don't mind. We've brought another guest in just to liven up.
Hey, man. How
are you? Do you know Russell? Do you like the Shrek films, is that Russell?
They're all right, yeah.
This isn't. You aren't Shrek, are you?
No, this is a mistake that people often make. I am Ashrek.
Yeah.
But I'm not Shrek.
Yeah. No, you look quite like, I mean, you do look, I don't know if that's racist,
that's
but you look.
He's Shrek.
Yeah.
But I'm Ashrek.
You look exactly like Shrek, though. You look identical
to
Shrek.
I know, but that's his proper noun. That's his name, isn't it? Okay. Proper name. He's Shrek, and I'm Ashrek.
But Shrek is a Shrek.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, if you were called Manny, say.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's a Shrek, but he happens to be called Shrek.
So, I have to say, it's not massively improved the podcast as much as I thought it would. We haven't got Tim from the office. We couldn't get Tim from the office.
Yeah.
Unless, you never know, that could be Tim from the office under there.
I think the problem is there's often a misconception, which was made by the films, Shrek. Which has sort of led on to a little bit of a Shrekism, a bit of Shrekophobia. I mean, people they think that, you know, that we bathe in swamps and eat grubs and cockroaches and stuff like that. And it's not true, you know. They think we hang around with gingerbread men and talk with a shite Scottish accent. Yeah. You know, it's not what it's all about.
It is. Well, you're a London-based Shrek, clearly.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you live in a swamp with a gingerbread man?
No, I work at Westminster. under the South Bank, I sort of take photographs with tourists.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm in the costume now. Because normally I'm in the fat face range, you know, polos and tees. This is a costume, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all fun.
Do you want to put your tongue back in? Or you see, I think you've still got your tongue sticking out all the time, and I think it might be... It's a,
well,
to
me, I always think life, you've got to go through smiling, you know, because life's too short. Even though I'm over 2020 years old, it really is.
Little tunic, and it's held together with a piece of string. The people at home, this is...
It's a visual joke.
It is a Shrek. It's not like a blade. He's got green hands. They're as green as... Some badly daubed hands with green paint on them.
He's got
vitiligo, do you mind?
So what things do you think could be improved by you being in them?
Well,
what question is that?
What things could be improved?
He's answering the questions I'm asking. I'm answering his own questions.
All right.
Well, I was thinking of TV shows that could be improved, like, Life's Too Short and a Shrek.
Yeah.
You know, oh, look at his little green face. Yeah.
You have chosen a show that would be hard to make worse, to be fair. Yeah. So it's...
You could do a double act with Toulouse Lautrec.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You could have a human centipede and a Shrek.
Yeah. Would you be attached or just standing?
Yeah, I could be at the front, could make it a lot more horrible. Yeah.
For the benefit of people at home, a man has just left at that exact moment, two men have left.
Another man's gone.
Which almost suggests that's some sort of code word. Human centipede, Shrek.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice for you to come along. I mean, I'm kind of quite like you just sit there while I carry on talking to Russell.
That's right, yeah, go on.
Because I'm really interviewing Russell. I thought this would set the room alight.
The problem is, what I must say is that you can't have more than one Shrek in something.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because we cancel each other out.
Yeah, you'd think like more if one Shrek improves it.
Yeah, no.
100 Shreks would make it
better. Too many Shreks, really, yeah. We cancel each other out.
Too many Shreks spoil the broth, I think that's...
I think that's the expression you could say. Yeah. Like for instance, like you wouldn't put you in a room with Nick Frost, would you?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Because you cancel each other out, you're both identical, you're both famous and got similar careers.
Or Bobby Robson dressed up as Richard Herring.
Yeah, wouldn't do that. Shut up, Shrek. Oh, okay. Shrek, sorry. What is your name if it's not Shrek?
Alan.
Good. Well, I'm going to carry on talking to... do you like Haribo, Shrek? Shrek?
No.
The problem with Shrek, he advertises fucking everything. The problem with getting into this Shrek...
Well, that's Shrek, not...
That is Shrek I'm talking about. That I get 500 tweets a day from people going... Here's a product with Shrek in it. Wish I'd never started the whole Shrek thing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's terrible. So, Russell.
Yes.
We'll just have a Shrek. So it will make the podcast better. It's not like everyone's uneasy.
No, it's fine.
This is a question I'm asking
just
everyone.
Just settled it all down, hasn't it?
Yeah. Shrek. Are your genitals like human genitals under there? Or are they like an elephant man's genitals? Or are they look... It's such...
Yeah. They've got a spud-like quality to them, haven't they?
I think you'll be pulling later on tonight. That's all I'm saying. The ladies...
You're going to ask if I can suck it.
Have you ever tried to suck your own cock?
No. Shreks have a retractable gland in their chins, which they use.
That's good. Good to know. Yeah. If you had to have sex with an animal, a Shrek, which animal would you have sex with?
I'd have sex with a Chimera, which is a mythological beast, which is a half lion. It's got a head of a goat, and a serpent for a tail, which would be like having a foursome.
What I like about this is he's been sitting backstage for like 45 minutes waiting for me to get him on dressed like that all the time, and he's sitting here on stage dressed. He's coming specially, whoever that man is underneath there.
Yeah,
he's coming specially,
and he hasn't cleaned his trousers because they've got some dubious stains on them.
Those weren't there before we started.
No.
Russ, over to you. I don't know if you either you're going to be sharing.
He's up to no good, or he's got some huge mice fans that love his thighs. go on.
If this is a question I'm asking everyone.
Yeah.
If Frankie Boyle, it's quite a complicated question, so do listen carefully. Don't answer a different question.
Yeah.
If Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger of comedy, the outspoken voice of disenfranchised youth, dehumanised by the press and feared by parents nationwide, if Frankie Boyle is that and Mick Jagger is that, and Dave Gorman is Ringo Starr, an everyman well known for providing entertainment in a variety of guises.
And he only ever wears shades indoors.
Well, wait and see. But okay. Still gives the impression he'd be incredibly polite if he ever met your mum.
Yeah.
If Dave Gorman is that and Ringo Starr is that.
Yeah.
And if Adam Buxton is Rick Witter, handsome, dark skin, faded facsimile of something good, you could introduce to your mother, but your mother would say, "Who is that twat?" If all of those things are true,
yeah.
Of each of those things, who are you?
Who am I?
And what? Who are you? And why? What attributes do you have that the person having a Shrek here does make this better? The Shrek has just turned. The Shrek has just turned to look at Russell, and that was funny. So it's starting to work. Who are you? If do you want the question again?
I've got the question.
If Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger.
Yep. Yeah. Again, we're having it again. Yeah. Go on.
The outspoken voice.
Sing it to me.
The outspoken voice of disenfranchised youth, dehumanised by the press and feared by parents nationwide. And Dave Gorman is Ringo Starr, an everyman well known, providing entertainment in a variety of guises, but still gives the impression of being incredibly polite if you ever met your mother.
Yeah.
And Adam Buxton is Rick Witter, handsome, dark skin, faded facsimile of something good, who you can introduce to your mother, but your mother says, "Who is that twat?" Then who are you, Russell Howard?
Roy of the Rovers.
Wow. And what attributes does this Roy of the Rovers have that Roy of the Rovers doesn't have?
He cooks a mean cheese toasty.
Russell.
And he's a box-to-box midfielder who fucking scores when it counts, Shrek. Fine.
Hold on, I've got to write it down. Cooks a mean...
Who do you think you are?
It's not the... Don't keep turning the questions around on me. I'm the question master. I don't have to
questions.
Answer.
Like
I'm the question master.
Are you?
I come up with these questions.
Fine.
Cooks a mean cheese toast. We have to. I could listen back and just write this down later.
Yeah, but mean cheese toasty. And he's a box-to-box midfielder.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Box-to-box midfielder.
Box-to-box midfielder.
Look, yeah. Are you talking about football? Isn't
I should have brought. I should have brought the Shrek out after this question. yeah, box-to-box midfielder.
I can't remember. I don't know. Who scores?
Who scores?
Yeah.
That is what Roy the Rovers is. You didn't understand the question at all. Again, you messed up the question. I think you're making the podcast worse, the Shrek. So I'm going to send... Don't play up to... Don't do that. That'll encourage him. There'll be hundreds of Shreks out here in a minute. It'll be like Shrek 4. That lady's fallen... The woman who's overexcited. That woman's fallen asleep. Yeah, that woman who was very excited earlier on has actually fallen asleep during the Shrek bit, which I think speaks for it. Will you please give it up for a Shrek, ladies and gentlemen? There he is. Thank you, a Shrek. Good work, a Shrek. I think we nailed that joke. So, I want to take you through. I like to take the Shrek.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Come in from Highgate to do that. So, all the way he's come in. He's been here for hours. I like to look at the internet and see the criticisms that people get. That's what that Frankie Ball thing comes from, a review of Dave Gorman, which is quite confusing.
This will be funny.
Russell Howard, there is a Facebook page called Russell Howard Is Not Funny, which has 1,449 fans. Which isn't that many, is it, really? When you think how much he's on TV, you'd think he'd be a lot higher.
come here. Pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
And I'll just give you one of the things that one of your fans says. This is Gregor Hume Thugale.
Yeah.
I don't find him funny at all.
Yeah.
He is so PC, it's boring. Yeah. I don't think you'll have a comeback to this. This is going to hurt you.
Oh, fuck. Do we have to do it? Yeah. But that's why I don't do any, because I've got low self-esteem as it is without you saying all the things that this... Anyway, it's gone.
He reminds me of a circle.
Oh, really?
Hold on, there's a reason for that. It's not, that'd be great if he just left it. It'd
impossible
be better if he left
to draw.
That. Impossible to draw freehand. Without a pair of compasses. Yeah.
You can only get him right with a spirograph.
That'd be better. It reminds me of a circle. Yeah, if you had a pair of compasses, you'd stab him in the face. That would be better. That would be better than what we've got.
That would be quite funny.
He reminds me of a circle. No edge whatsoever.
Yeah. It's true.
And wait. Okay. And also like a circle, is similar to an asshole. Bang! Bang!
That's a good one.
If your asshole's round, you've got some fucking big issue. If it's literally a circle, A, you've just had a massive cock up there, Gregor Hume. Maybe the cock's been up there and it's just come out and it's sort of flapping around. You might go, that's like a circle, but otherwise it's like a star, right? That's what an anus is like.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even know what an asshole looks like. Yeah.
It's more like a sort of an otter with no teeth that's kind of sort of scrunched in on itself. That's eating a toffee and it's at the back.
Whereas Mimi Buttigieg,
there's more of them.
Yes,
and you've written them all down.
She says Russell Howard, not Russell, Russell. Yeah. So okay. R-U-S-E-E-L.
Well, it's not about me then.
It's
that. That's that tribute act of mine.
Russell. Well, I like the fact they're kind of illiterate, the people who do this. Russell Howard is a cunt.
Well, that's absolutely true. Oh.
Does that hurt you? The circle thing? Does that hurt you?
No, I just...
No edge?
Oh, no, it's fine, isn't it? I probably don't. But
like a circle's got no edge, has it?
No, it hasn't.
Well, it's got one edge. It's got a kind of edge around the edge of the circle. So that's the edge. It's kind of got an infinite edge, in fact. So
I don't think like you, because I just kind of get upset, whereas you just kind of go, I would play comedic logic things, and I would defeat them as I play snooker on my own. I just cry. But
that's been
fine.
My aim to get one of the, because it's kind of a humorous podcast, but on proper interview shows, they kind of make, like Piers Morgan, makes people cry, doesn't he, by revealing their terrible secrets. So I thought probably the only way I could do
it's
is just be rude. Rude to him. I'm talking about his lazy eye, see if that gets to him. No, he rode through that. He rode through that pretty well.
Yeah. Fucking brilliant. Excellent. But criticism hurts, doesn't it? Does it not hurt you?
I find it funny when an idiot criticises me.
I assume that they're kind of wise.
Someone who says he's so PC, it's boring. You kind of think, what does that man
want
to say? Where
you told me to come on and go, I was raping David Cameron the other day.
Yeah. 1,449 people on Facebook.
That ate me. There's probably sort of splinters.
No, they don't hate you. They just don't think you're funny.
Fine.
But if you go there, you'd be nice, because most of the people on there are people going, he is funny, so fuck off.
Oh, right.
So it's all right. So
I would go on there. I stopped Googling myself a little while ago. It's just kind of, you know, get silly, doesn't it? The top thing when you Google me is Russell Howard gay. And I believe that's because my brother has typed it many times. In an attempt, and I know that for a fact, I've seen him do it, like a whole afternoon, watching Soccer Saturday, clicking Russell Howard gay, and then turn it off, Russell Howard gay, turn it off. And he's at the top.
But I've done a similar thing.
Have you?
Yeah, with Daniel Howard, hedgehog fucker.
So there you go.
So that's the animal eat fuck.
That's good. But you're not like a big show busy man, I don't think, are you? You're not like one of these people who's on TV and then goes to... You were invited to David Walliams' wedding, I think, weren't you? And didn't go because...
No. Well, because I wouldn't have spoken to anyone. I'd just been sat on my own. Good.
Right.
Oi, Elton, have you these sandwiches? They're fucking lovely, aren't they?
Do you know David Walliams very well?
I did a charity bike ride with him, so right. No, not really. No. He's just very kindly invited me to his wedding, but I just kind of feel uneasy. Like any awards do I've ever been to, I find it really kind of, you know, it's sort of a bit like
showing off.
No. But it's a bit like, it's just the stress of it all, and all that. It's like kind of going to these things and people taking your photo and all that kind of shit. It's just a bit tedious. Oh yeah, oh poor me. No, but it's not. You get further away from.
He's from Somerset. He believes that it captures his soul.
There you go. Yeah. But, you know, I'd rather just hang out with my mates and stuff like that and do gigs, you know? Yeah. I would say that I'm a famous comedian rather than a celebrity. But there you go.
Well, yeah, but it, I mean, I sort of think
but I'm not. You don't see me in, like, fucking Hello magazine fingering someone, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know, any of that caper.
But it's kind of an odd... I think there are certain people who become celebrities.
Latch into it.
Yeah. Well, and then just they're only friends with celebrities.
I find that so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really odd. It's like, the one that really intrigues me is... what's his name? Grimshaw. What's his name? The DJ.
Nick Grimshaw.
Yeah, he sort of hangs around with Harry Styles. Yeah. And Nick Grimshaw's my age, and Harry Styles is 18. And they kind of play frisbee together. And it's just fucking weird, isn't it? Like, yes. how have they become friends and now they're best buddies? I just sort of find that odd.
It's because like they feel that they validate themselves by being friends with famous people. I think you validate yourself by being friends with the people you were always friends with.
Yeah.
Phil Fry, still my friend. Yeah. Even though we were going to leave him behind in that porn cinema. We weren't so nice. And then I thought of a brilliant thing to say, and it's gone. It just flew out of my mind.
Okay.
Ah, it's a shame. It was going to be amazing.
Is it about one of your mates staying... But also, no. It's more fun hanging out with all your friends, because then you don't have to start all the in-jokes again. You know, you could just... Like for my friend John's here
tonight. Nipples.
Well, exactly, because I could say to my friend John, he would titter a bit. And
I know what it was. Nick Grimshaw, before he was really famous, he was on. He'd been on Radio 1, and I was aware of who he was. Yeah. And I thought, because I used to listen to Radio 1 when I was driving home from gigs. It was that long ago before I suddenly went, this isn't for me anymore.
Yep.
I was still about 40, to be fair. But I went to Whammy
Trousers Mouse. Back to front like crisscross.
I
just nailed it in Slough.
I went to Wagamama's once, the popular noodle-based restaurant. It's nice.
Bragging.
I was with my then girlfriend, now wife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Have anything you want from the menu.
You sit on the bench affair in Wagamama's, and sitting next to me was Nick Grimshaw. Grimmy, they called him. At the time, and
what did you say to him? Hey, Grimmy, how's your soup?
I didn't, but Grimmy.
I come here all the time, and
I didn't talk to Grimmy, but I could have said, "Hey, I used to present a Radio 1 show, and look what's happened to me." So stop being so fucking cocky.
Yeah.
The future's gonna slap you in the face, Grimmy.
Whoa, but that would have been pretty weird, considering he was just sat there minding his own business, eating food. Yeah, shut your fucking mouth. Just eating me some soup.
I could have been a warning. I could have actually said, Grimmy, it's you. Yeah. I am you from the future. Look what the fuck has happened to you.
That's not a fucking hell or something in this soup.
But what happened is that Grimmy had just been to Habitat and he bought a lampshade for his lamp.
How do you know this?
Because Grimmy went away and he left his lampshade behind.
And you stole
it? We found it.
Stole it because it's the future, the past you, so you could have it.
We found it. It's kind of weird that he was out buying a lampshade. It's kind of odd.
No, it's not weird. It's that fucking dark pretty weird. House. He's just trying to enjoy it.
Like a little light show.
Oh, he's
it's
got
a bit
lights.
Weird.
What a fucking weirdo. We sit in the dark and call to each other.
Well, he left. It was like... It was from Habitat or something. It's quite expensive. It's maybe £50 or £60. And we thought, we're going to keep that. And about 20 minutes later, he came back and got it. And we had to go, oh, yeah, we've
been oh, really?
It.
Oh, fucking brilliant.
He realised
what was your excuse? What was your excuse?
He said, oh, no, well, we found that. We were going to hand
it.
We were going to hand it in, and we're glad you came back.
Poor guy. He's just trying to eat his dinner, and the future self's fucking stealing from him.
I should have invited him round, going, look at this. Become his celebrity friend, going, will you come back to my house, Grimmy? Recognise this lampshade? I've left a little bit of a noodle on it, so give you a clue.
Lights off and darkness.
Call to me, Grimmy, call to me.
So we've done pretty well. I like this quote. This is what your dad, I think, gave you this.
It's beautiful,
quote.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know it off by heart, or do you want me to read it?
I think it is, those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their mind wake in the day to find that all is vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they act upon their visions with open eyes and make them happen. Which is a lovely thing to say to a 15-year-old boy who says, Dad, I think I'm going to do comedy.
And so you had that on, you literally have that, he gave you it written up on, you put it on your bedroom.
Fucking wonderful present. Yeah, he's lunatic, my dad, but he has moments of absolute beauty when you just go, that will fucking do.
And my mum went, fucking mad, you're not funny, you daft cunt. When Facebook's invented, I'm going to go on there and pretend to be foreigners who hate you.
Who said that quote? Who's the quote from? Is it?
I think it's T.S. Eliot. Is it?
Someone like that. It was someone of the. One of the initial ones.
And that's why Richard's not an English teacher.
You know, T.S. Eliot is an anagram of toilets.
Class you know dismissed.
I don't think T.S. Eliot said that, but he is an anagram of toilets. So should have thought of that. Shouldn't he? Didn't see me coming. That's what I said. He's reading out The Wasteland. Yeah. Go, hey, fucking put some capital letters. I know that was E. Cummings. That'd be my first heckle. Put in some capital letters. Oh, no, that was E. Cummings. That'd be the first heckle. Self-defeating. Second one, well, at least my name's not an anagram of toilets.
And then a woman at the back would go, douchebag.
What was T.S. Eliot's middle name?
Shirley.
No.
Sid?
No. Turned into a massive game of Rumpelstiltskin that could fill up a lot of time. Let's make this the longest one. I don't think you'll get it by guessing, but let's see.
Give me a clue.
My friend Stefan has this as his surname.
Stefanovic?
Here's a clue.
Go on. Stern.
Yeah.
Lovely. What a lovely bit of acting. That was like, whose line is it anyway? That was
am I right? Is that the right name? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. One bloke over there. It's like, this is the Wikipedia. My audience is Wikipedia. That's what we were revealing in the first half. You can ask this audience any question and they'll give you the answer.
Okay.
Have a little bit. It's like Wikipedia files. So that's what they are. That's what they are. Not my joke. I'm sure it doesn't belong to anyone, that particular joke.
That excuse always works.
If it belongs to you,
bloody found it. Found. Hey, what?
That's my fan base.
He's having a terrific time.
Are you?
Right?
Are you?
Do you come every week?
No.
What's your name? Let's get in.
I'm Ryan.
Ryan. What's your last name, Ryan?
May.
Ryan May.
Mm.
What's your address? Yeah. What's the last three digits of your number on the back of your card? I'm going to wonga.com. Make me. Really, Ryan May?
Fucking brilliant. What a terrific name.
It's good. I'm glad we asked. Would you say you're a fan of this podcast?
He fucking loves it.
Wait,
look at his
Russell. Right. I've got him with a trap of logic.
Okay.
Earlier, he said our fan base was paedophiles. QED. He walked right into my trap.
As do his victims. But cool. sure, Rich. If you're going to fuck a kid.
Yeah.
Best to listen to something funny while you're doing it. Edgy. That's right.
Hold on, that circle is like the...
Very often, I'll toss off a child and listen to Mitch Hedberg because I just don't care.
I'm going on break.
If I can keep them in here every hour that they are in this room, this is why these podcasts last a long time.
Yeah.
Every hour they're in here, they're not having sex with the child. That's the number of children I am saving. This is the kind of time they like to go out. It's when the children are drowsy, asleep.
You sweaty hero. You lovely hero. Saving all those people. You're like the catcher in the rye, aren't you? Just...
Well, I was going to ask you about Midsummer Norton.
Midsummer Norton, yes.
Midsummer Norton.
Yeah.
Is it where Midsummer Murders are based on?
I don't think so, no. It's very different. It's, you know,
Has there ever been any murders in Midsummer Norton?
There was a bullet shot in a pound shop.
That's not really a murder, is it? No, I mean, it's a shame to break
but
the window.
It's a real cry of desperation, isn't it? The bullet costs more than pounds. I don't know, how much is a bullet? I wouldn't know. How much is it more than
a
pound?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now. Depends on the type. If you want to, I want to.
Have you ever shot a.
No, like I've never shot anyone. Not even. No. Is this some kind of clever trick to get me to admit someone? Yes, I killed her.
No, what? A clay pigeon or anything like. Have you ever fired a gun?
I must have done.
I'd fucking love to. Like, shoot a bottle in the desert.
I'd fucking
fucking hate milk. It looks amazing, doesn't it? Oh, if you, oh, that, you'd love it. Let you and me go to the desert and fire some fucking bottles.
Okay. I'm up for that. And
it could be a documentary.
Good.
We could film it. We could be like an Odd Couple having fun. Like, I'll be trying to drive, crashing. Yeah. You'll be like, oh, sweets everywhere.
Could be the West Country RH-based comedians go to a
just
desert.
Driving along. Dang, 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 dang. Like, it sort of says the font. Richard is an hour late. He's cleaning his penis. Sorry, I was late. We all know what you were doing.
I tell you, in the desert, that's one place you would like the willy brush, because that's going to be like going... When you go to the beach, you know what it's like. You're getting the sand, don't you? Don't you? You know what I'm talking about. You ladies know what I'm talking about. Gets in your trunks, doesn't it? Your lady trunks. Gets right
your
up
lovely
there.
Lady trunks. When,
you'd have a, you'd like a little willy brush there. Just take off the sand. It'll be lovely.
What are you
talking
about?
To the beach? That's what, is it just me? Is it just me? Has my penis got some kind of sand magnetic quality? It's got the silicon in the sand is somehow attracted to my...
It's like a metal detector, your dick. It's just like, just obsessed with sand. What's
well,
underneath
that would be
there?
A terrible metal detector if it just detected sand.
Let's save this old banner for the road trip.
Very excited. As they're always down there. Beep, 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 beep. Yes! We found some more. Yeah. It's very deep, this sand. To get through a lot of sand. You got a degree in economics?
Yeah.
From where? The West Country University? Yeah. That's not a thing. Where's that base?
In the West Country.
Okay. Where was its headquarters?
In the West Country.
Which town?
Bristol.
Bristol?
Yeah. I didn't really try at school, but I nearly got a first. I was 1% off getting a first. Oh. I tried for my degree, that was about it. It could be fucked for the rest of it. Because I was playing football.
But you did economics?
Yeah.
Do you have a solution to the economic crisis that the United Kingdom currently finds itself in?
Do you think I do?
Yeah. I'm hoping so, because it'd be a nice end to the series.
Wouldn't it be lovely?
Save that for the last question. You just go, yes, here is what Mr. Osborne has to do. Fuck off. Kill himself.
He's a freaky looking goose, isn't he, Osborne?
It's just Gideon.
Gideon, yeah. All sorts of rumours about him.
Yeah, there are.
Well, say it ain't so. So
I heard a great one about pencils. Have you heard the pencil? I'm not going to say it, because it probably is libelous.
Oh, yeah?
Stuart Lee told me it, and you can't trust anything he says.
No, you can't. No, you can't. So to the final question.
Do you want to talk about that quickly? Because I talked to Stuart Lee about it. Stuart Lee did a joke about you earning £4 million a year and not giving money to charity, or you could be raising a lot more money for charity in your cycle rides.
Yeah.
He says that it was the character of Stuart Lee.
That was the weirdest thing. We had a chat about it, and he said, it wasn't me. It was the character, which is like... sort of having an argument with a ventriloquist.
Don't bring up ventriloquist dummies and Stuart Lee. That is the last thing you want to do.
I didn't call you a cunt. It was Mr. Stinker. Mr. Stinker. But the weirdest thing about it was watching it on TV. It's such an odd experience because he keeps saying my name. It's fucking weird. And you've had your name since forever. And suddenly, you know, a really famous, incredibly popular comedian is saying... Russell Howard over and over, and I was in a hotel room in Leeds, and in a desperate attempt to kind of break the tension, where every time he said my name I go, say what? And he kept saying my name, what now? But you know, it was either that or fucking weep, because it was incredibly upsetting. But you know, it's fine now, eh?
Yeah.
And I didn't earn £4 million, that's crucial. And, you know, it made me sound like I'm sort of like some sort of money-grabbing arse, but I'm not. I don't do corporate gigs. I just do my telly show and do some gigs. And, you know, I'm not getting paid for this. And God knows there's 360 seats here, £12. You'll be on a split. You know, I haven't asked for any dollar. I'm doing all right.
I do actually pay you.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you really? Fucking brilliant. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to donate that money to charity.
And I was going to pay you
for paedophiles, because I'm an edgy son of a bitch. No, I will. I don't want any money, man. This has been a laugh.
It's been very nice to have you.
But this is the weird thing as well. Big, like, you know, I used to watch you and Stuart when I was a child, so it kind of felt weird. It's like Gordon the Gopher just seeing you in the street and going, "Right, you cunt." Joe is like, "Oh, Gordon."
It's like finding out Jimmy Savile's a pedophile.
Yeah. Do you know the worst thing? What? When he died, we did an episode in the show that was really positive about him, just sort of saying, but the show now goes out in Australia and we just fucking found it in time because it was going to go out the week after all these horrific stories. And he cuts me going, "Hey, Jim, sorry you're dead. Genuinely had the line, you're such a big part of my childhood." So it's like, fucking hell, we managed to find it, you know? Ugh. But yeah, that was the only weird thing. Yeah. Because I used to watch you weasels when I was doing my A-levels.
Oh, that makes it a bit better.
It was
fun. Who did you like best out of me, Stuart Lee and Rich Tang back then?
I liked you both. I liked the Curious Orange.
Whoever that is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I've got one man that I come to do any job that involves putting something on his head. I go, "I know who to call."
But I remember I watched it. I was slightly too young for Fist of Fun, and then I watched This Morning Richard Not Judy, and I watched the first week of it. It was on a Sunday morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I watched the first week, I was like, "It's fucking shit, I fucking hated it." And I went out and speak to my mate Guy, I was like, "It's wank, mate, it's fucking dog shit, rat meat." And then I watched it the following week, went, "It's fucking brilliant," and then genuinely loved it from then on. It was really cool.
That's very much how the reaction was. Well, it's kind of weird if you watch the first episode.
I was "What the fuck is this shit?" And then the next week, "This is absolutely brilliant."
I think it was better the second one, but also it was a lot of running jokes. The first episode of the
Anthony Hopkins. I fucking loved that when I was 18. P.S. I'm wanking as I write this.
Paul Putner, who may be in the building, did a character called Gary Putner in the first episode of This Morning Richard Not Judy. That because we hadn't recorded loads of them, they went down really badly and we never did it again. Every time I see him, I think of that. But The Curious Orange also went down really badly. And then, so, you know, who knows? Gary Putner could be the biggest comedy character ever if only we'd stuck with it.
Did you ever have any characters that you did?
Like, me?
Other than Richard Herring?
I did The Driving Instructor. I was Matthew in the Jesus sketches. I probably did various things, can't remember. Teacher, I was a boring teacher.
Are you and Stu going to work again together, do you think?
Good question.
It is a good question.
No, you've become the question master. I don't know, you know, he's so fucking annoying. But I kind of like to. Well, I'll give you a copy of Fist of Fun, by the way. That you can have that. I'll give you both series of Fist of Fun. Available from www.gofasterstripe.com.
It's a kind offer, but...
No.
I fear my relationship with... I won't find it that charming because it'll be like watching an uncle that touched me up. Do you know what I mean? He was good then, but he did touch me up.
The thing is, if you accept the DVDs, then that is, you know, everything that's gone on today. It means you're happy with it.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal. It's like a Jim will fix it badge, let's say. If you accept that, then whatever else goes
on. I'm fine with it. I hope he's fine. I hope this doesn't reignite another spat because he's cleverer than me and I'll have to...
Well, it's a shame. I genuinely don't think he meant you any harm. But
that's what he said.
The character of Stuart Lee does think exactly the same things as the real Stuart Lee, though. So I was like... He's just slightly exhausting. I've been kind of dealing with him over Fist of Fun. He's just slightly... You know, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant person and very funny.
God,
I used to be annoying, but fuck, we used to argue all the fucking time.
That's like me and...
But now we get on, but we used to argue over the word "at" or "the" in a sentence. You know, we'd argue for a day about whether a sentence would be funny if you said "at" or "the," like Ashrek or "the Shrek." Like, one of those is funnier than the other. we were very committed to our comedy. But I think...
It's the best way to be, though, eh?
He's very autonomous and he likes being on his own. So I think I would find it exhausting to work with him again.
Okay.
But we sort of said when we're 60 we might do.
Well, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
But one of us will be dead by then. Which will make it really funny. We'd quite like to be 60 and just do the exact same routines that we did when we were 20.
That'd be good
Without changing any of the references or referring to the fact we are older. Or, you know, he's got a son and I haven't yet got a son, but if I had a son, we could just send them out and they could do it.
Oh, that'd be fucking brilliant, wouldn't it?
Well, his son really looks like him, so, you know, we could... Or I thought... I could do a double act with his son when his son's 19. We could just do the old Leon Herring routines, and every now and again he looks at me and go, what happened, Rich? What happened to you? And I go, what do you mean? Ah!
Well, you have to do that. It'd be fucking brilliant, yeah, wouldn't it?
I know, it seems wrong to work out what someone else's child is going to be doing they're 19 years old as their job.
But you should when you have a kid, and then you and Stuart just swap every so often, so the camera pans back, and then it's the old Richard against the new one.
Yeah,
let's do it. It'd be funny.
It is freaky. It's a freaky thing.
Let's all go in a van and shoot some bottles.
But if the thing is, if you did go cycling all the time,
yeah,
you would make loads of money for charity.
It is a true point.
Yeah, it is. Let's see if anyone has a question for Russell Howard. He's very sensitive. Don't say anything nasty to him. Don't ask about his eye. Like, I saw you shooting. I'm going, when you have the eye, can you see like a normal person, or are you kind of seeing two different things? That's what that man just asked. I can't believe he asked that.
I am seeing two different. Well, what I struggle with is
how's it processing.
If
your brain?
I'm pouring water in, I kind of have to close one eye and then kind of go like that and go, oh, there you go, that's fine.
But the worst thing, I've got contact lenses. I normally wear contact lens glasses now. But here's a question: is anyone here, when they go to the opticians, do they put cotton bud under your eyelid and then sort of flip it?
Lady over there.
Now. Do you know why they do that?
Well, let me tell you, right?
You let them do it.
Because I asked lots of people, I said, do you know why this fucking happens? It's really weird. It's the oddest thing of just somebody cotton bud flip and you're there just going, like an insect like that, right? And I said, well, why do you do that? And my optician looked at me and went, because you've got really fat eyelids. Like that. And I was like, is there anything I can do? She went, no, you're really fat. And she really, really fat. You can't get under your fat eyelid. It's just like so droopy.
Look what you've done to me, that awful question. I'll let you ask another question and try and be a bit nice. What's your question, sir? I'll have to repeat it after you've said it.
I was going to ask about his butt eyelids.
What were you going to ask him?
Your audience really fucking love you.
Oh,
I like your voice.
Not that. What about that Facebook? Yeah, sorry, your audience really... That's not a question.
It's going to be followed by, I don't.
I think you're a cunt.
Yeah, yeah,
and you should change your name to Russell.
Yeah. I've left my more pertinent points on the interweb. Go on.
Good question.
It's an excellent question. And
let me repeat it for the people.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah, your audience love you.
You actor. You bloody
acting.
Acting.
Richard Herring's audience don't really like him. They still come, though.
Yeah.
They come just to make sure he's as shit as they think he is. Hey, come on, man. Fucking lay off with that. Come on, ask Russell some questions. What?
I know.
Fuck, I've forgotten what the question was. But I'm so incensed by
it
you.
It was a hostile crowd.
Did you miss having to deal with a hostile crowd?
I do. That's why tonight's hostile. It's nice. It's nice to be in the lion's den amongst you nerds. But I did a gig I did 5 gigs in New York, which was exactly the same. They didn't know who I was, and it was really cool because I sort of, 4 of them went really well, and 1 was bad. But it was good fun. It was kind of ace. It was, I hadn't had that for ages, where I'd sort of just go on and one gig in Gotham Comedy Club, I went, hello, and there was just a group of blokes back going, oh, hello. Mr. English, and I was like, I don't talk like that, and it was brilliant. It was really good fun. But I often do that. I do, before I do like the bigger gigs, I kind of do small little art centres in like Shrewsbury and fucking Telford and shit like that, in front of people who aren't massively into it. But it's quite a good test, you know. So yeah.
But I do have to say, and I was going to say this before when I was slagging him off a lot, when I started doing stand-up again...
We used to do loads of gigs together.
Yeah, we did loads of gigs together, and Russell is an unbelievably fantastic stand-up comedian, which is what kind of annoys me. I think, because of Stuart Lee saying, you know, those things, I think, like, some of his fans just kind of write you off without even seeing anything you've done.
It's also especially my if you go face, isn't it? I mean, I don't look like... You don't really warm to me. You kind of look like a fucking happy twat. You know?
People don't like... Well, we had this when we were... You know, we were young and people didn't like us because we were young. And they go, why are they being comedians? They're too young. And, you know, and Stuart Lee, he has a go at these T-shirt, good-looking haircut comedians. Watch fucking Fist of Fun. It's stupid, ridiculous. His hair wrecked my career. So,
weird about that whole kind of, like... I don't know if you probably weren't aware of this, because it's a very kind of sort of tiny thing, but there's a thing called a T-shirt comedian now. And I only ever wore T-shirts because I get hot. Like that. It wasn't like a decision that, like, you know, like all the off-the-curb acts wear suits. and they go on Live at the Apollo and they look like they're auditioning. They're on the way to the job centre. It's fucking hilarious. And in fact, they do. They sort of shuffle on. Hello, here's some stories. Please make me famous. And then, you know, I just get hot, so I wore a T-shirt.
But it's
and then suddenly went, fuck's sake, man, he's wearing a fucking T-shirt. Fucking dickhead.
But it's
why can't he wear a shirt? It drives me mad.
It's kind of an age, you know, it's that old people looking at young people and being jealous, really. But you were, you know, you were absolutely... I remember doing a gig with you at one of the student places. And
Lincoln Uni we did
well,
together.
That was one of the first ones.
Lovely.
You know, amazing kind of ad-libbed off-the-cuff stuff. But I've also followed you at another one, and you're unfollowable. You know, as a comedian, you had got the audience who so loved you and didn't know who you were. So you should go and see Russell live. Are you going to be performing live soon anyway?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, let's go and see him on tour.
See me kick it.
It's, you know, and then I think old Gregor Hume Thugriel, I'm going to buy him a couple of tickets. I'm going to track him down
on Facebook. Good evening, and just a red light appears and just dead. Just people, I'm really looking forward to this. I've heard that he done foul to what you think about him, and then dead.
Could happen. So...
It could die. Do you ever worry about, like, dying? Get somebody shooting you on stage?
Well, I was reading about some... there was a thing in The Guardian today or yesterday about...
sorry, this is really going famous... on, but I've got nothing to do tonight.
That's
so.
All right. Okay,
is that all right? I know it's fucking dragging.
But I was reading about this... There was, like, musicians' famous last words, and, like, George Harrison saying something, love each other, and Bing Crosby saying that was a brilliant round of golf. And
then like, there's get the sweets out of my...
my foreskin. I've got... diabetes of the penis.
Get them out. It's all people will ever remember.
But there was I vaguely remember this story, but I can't remember the band. But there was a band where
cocktail stick or something.
There was a band where a stalker shot like the whole band on stage. Do you remember this?
Fuck.
Like, do you know who
fucking
am I talking
run.
About? He's like, is what?
Darryl.
There's different people. It's Darryl Abbott or something. It's called.
Darryl.
Yeah. He was a guitarist one man at a time.
He was the guitarist from Pantera.
He was the guitarist from Pantera. And they were all... the bloke shot up the whole gig and killed, like, him and some other...
Shit.
And they were just on stage. And his last words were, Van Halen! Which is worse than being shot, isn't it? So it's like, you think if you've got...
No, it's not.
You've got... It is. You've got a chance.
What's your last words, Rich?
Yeah,
what's my last words? Yeah, I'm not fucking saying... I'm not going to tell you. I'm holding him back. You'll have to wait. You'll have to wait. Bam!
Just lead on the floor and somebody going, you know what would be better? If we put a Shrek in it. And you just see, this Shrek just hunch over you and pummel you towards the afterlife.
The thing is, I have thought about it. You know what would happen if someone shot me on stage? Yeah. I would say, now that's a heckle. I've thought about it. So I have a line ready for it.
Absolute bollocks. Like, it was the way you arrogantly pointed at this imaginary assassin.
Especially,
good heckle, I die.
If Ryan May was in the audience, I'd do it to him. You see, I'd go, now that's a heckle, Ryan. Shooting me.
Dodge the bullet, and his mate, Reggie Murphy.
So don't do that. But they shouldn't say that, because the people who listen to this are kind of obsessive enough, and now...
I was the one that killed him and let him say the special words. Oh, it's like, what the blessed snooker with him.
There are a lot of terrorists who listen to this. I keep giving terrorists pots
away.
They love
you. It's fucking brilliant. It's like watching, you know, people kind of like become a child through you. It's exciting.
That's good.
There you go.
I don't think Stu wanted the moon on a stick, so that's a poor heckle. So if someone were to shoot
him now.
That's a heckle. If they shot me with a moon on a stick, on a like an arrow, and the arrow stuck in my head, and there was a moon on it, and there was a stick sticking out, I'm going,
and your mouth was open, you looked like a crazy golf course.
But if you're going to do that, do it to Stuart, because that was who. So what I'm saying is,
you know,
if you're going to see Stuart Lee,
you know,
shoot an arrow with
really saying, if you're going to kill anyone, don't kill me.
Kill Stuart Lee. Don't kill Stuart Lee, because then he'll be unbeatable, won't he? As long as he stays alive, he'll get worse, and then people go, why did we like him? If he dies now, he's at the height of his powers, everyone will go,
yeah,
he's the most amazing comedian ever.
He's not a computer game boss.
Yes.
Imagine that, just you get to the end of the level, oh fuck, Stuart Lee, how am I going to shoot him? I see you've got a gun. Oh. Fuck it.
Don't kill entertainers. That is my advice.
Deep, pretty deep.
Yeah, thanks. If only Mark Chapman had been one of my fans and You know, I think he would have been.
Yeah.
If he'd, he might. Well, he's not dead, is he? He's, that's the irony. That's the terrible irony. He's still going. That's not fair, is it? If you had to choose between Mark Chapman and John Lennon being killed, you had the button. Who would you kill? The kill button. Who would you kill? John Lennon or Mark Chapman? John Lennon, fucking hell.
Because, I know why, because you don't want to mess up with the world.
Mark Chapman. Now I look at you a second time, it is Mark Chapman. I mean, fucking anyone in this room could be Mark Chapman by the look of sort of a fat, sweaty man.
It's the butterfly effect, isn't it? You don't want to spoil things because then you wouldn't be here.
No, that's true.
It's fucking dog shit, though, isn't it? It's like, oh, like you travel back. I kicked a goat and now fucking Hitler's alive. Kick a goat. You want to kick a goat? Travel back and kick a goat.
Seems a waste of time travelling. You can do that. You want to kick a goat? Just go and kick a goat. Don't travel back in time. Hey! Less is a real cut to that.
Fuck yeah, did you see that? Sam Beckett's lost it. That was the shittiest episode of Quantum Leap I've ever seen. Ziggy says, I've got a fucking say to a fuck. Look at that goat, you fucking twat. The milk, the cheese is nice though.
We'll take one more audience question, then I think we should probably let people go to sleep, madam. Some people wait till after the gig to go to sleep when they get home. Sorry, is there a lady over there, I think? Someone yelling? Was it the...
Did your parents ever give you the talk? You seem pretty chill.
The talk?
Did your parents... I'm going to do an impression. Hey, did... This is... I can do any action.
Hey, Russell, I'm from America. I'm from America. Did your parents...
I'm not from America.
Where are you from?
Canadian.
Yeah, same thing. I'll tell you what. Give it about 5 years.
No, that's a heckle comeback. Fucking smooth.
Sorry, I'll change the accent.
Hey, Russell. Hey. Hey.
Oh, it's maple syrup everywhere.
Russell, hey. Yeah. Now, hey. Hey. Didn't you seem
what
pretty...
What is it, my backward friend? Are you all right? Do you want a teddy bear?
Did your parents ever give you the talk? You seem a pretty chill guy. Do you understand either of those things?
Presumably by the talk, you mean like about the birds and the bees. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
No. Figured it all out. I'll tell you what, here's a weird story though for you. We did go, when we were 11, go to see my Jess, see her have sex with a male dog so she could have puppies. And we all went to watch it, which is one of the most chilling things I've ever seen.
But Mum went, I can't leave you alone because you'll have the run of the house and crazy shit will happen. And you'll put, you know, you pour boiling water on yourself. So come with me. We got on a trip. And we had to watch our dog get fucked.
And she didn't enjoy it at all. It was just awful. Except that was the first sort of proper sexual thing. I'd like that screaming and they couldn't release at the end and they had to put a hose over them so his dick would shrink and then be able to pull out of it. And after that I didn't really want my tea. So, and Mum was like, right, let's go back, what do you want for dinner? Like, fucking nothing. I don't, do you want waffles? Well, go on then, if we're having waffles.
There wasn't much entertainment in Somerset. It was like it was the shoe machine.
Yeah.
They could go there in street, go to Wells Odeon, watch pornography, or watch a dog being raped.
It wasn't raped. It wasn't. That's a misrepresentation. It wasn't raped. It was.
Did the dog?
It was not raped. It was at worst a struggle cuddle. It certainly. It wasn't. It wasn't rape. It was. Let me say this on record. It wasn't rape. It wasn't fun. No one had fun.
Why are you sticking up for this dog? This rapist dog. Was it a dog that was doing...
Yeah, it was a dog.
When you say it was another dog.
It wasn't a farmer. It wasn't a furry.
He said yes! She said she wanted it!
No.
Put the holes on me. I'm stuck. Yeah. But I'm stuck.
But the weird thing is, while we're watching this awful experience, my brother got an apple from an apple tree and was eating an apple and somehow that was the weirdest thing. Like, do you want an apple? Like, no. For popcorn? No, I don't want to fucking eat. Let's get this dog off our dog. But we had six lovely puppies, so it was all right in the end, eh? It was awful. It was fucking awful, though. It was such a terrible, terrible thing.
My dog, still Arch. Hear it, Clarice? The screaming, the dog.
It was awful, man. Yeah. Have you got a dog?
No.
That's the end of that one, then.
Yes. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
I've fallen into this trap before.
Good. Well, I think we're pretty much. That was a good question. I mean, it was a weird fucking question.
Did your parents have the talk with you?
Yeah.
How did it go?
My dad told me never to sleep with black guys because their dicks were too big.
Really?
Wow, those Canadians are racist.
That sounds like it's going to be so sweet. Like, come into the. Do you want to come into the den with me?
I don't know whether I should repeat it for the people at home. It's not me who said it.
I just got this horrendous image of your dad just sat there going, I mean, sure, Jordan has got incredible airtime, but...
It's just that's the talk, though.
That's
now,
not the talk,
there's something I have to tell you about the adult world. Don't sleep with black guys because their dicks are too big.
Just ask your mum. Yeah, wow.
What happened? Yeah. I think
it's
I might
like
have
that
a guest
thing
on
that
the
killed
next...
Boba Fett down there. What not?
Hold on, it's going doubly racist now. I think you are Chinese, so you're allowed to now say everything you like about the Chinese. And in China, their vaginas go the other way. You're allowed to say that. You can do whatever you want. Be as rude as you like. Parents are.
That doesn't change it.
You're in the car when you're having this chat.
I couldn't leave, so...
You couldn't leave? You had the child locks on. You waited till the car was moving, it was locked in. I've got two things to tell you. First of all, black men have huge cocks. Apparently. Compared to us Chinese. We're statistically the smallest cocks in the world. That's just a fact. But size isn't important. And black men don't have bigger penises on average than anyone else. It's a myth intended to dehumanise them when the Europeans first went to Africa.
That was the follow-up to White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah. So it's a very racist thing to think. Yes, carry on with the racism of your own race. Fucking look, this could go in any direction.
Yeah,
this might be a terrible. I want to make a confession on a comedy podcast. Afterwards, my dad took me for a drive.
This is funny.
It went all kind. This is the size of penis you should be accommodating. Let's just. If anyone's got a bigger one than this, just have a proper good look at it. Maybe have a little feel around. No.
Now he's interested. Look at him. He's come over all mark over. Go on.
It was the time you became a woman.
That's an impression of Mark Over. What?
You could drive without a license.
Whoa, I came into that late. So.
In a graveyard. You could drive without a license in a graveyard.
Like, but what's this got to do with your racist dad and his wang natter? Okay.
Is this the forum to get this out, do you think? Do you want to give us his name and address? We can.
And have you ever tried to get your dad back?
he's in a different country.
Yeah,
but this goes all over the
world.
This podcast goes literally everywhere. There'll be someone in Canada. There'll probably be someone who lives in the same town. Probably can walk over and go, by the way, the penis size is statistically pretty much the same. Chinese people have the smallest ones, though, statistically. And that's just the women. I'm tempted to end the whole podcast series on that joke. That would be an amazing moment to go.
Like a really good Phil Kay gig. We're in the Badlands. But there's hope.
It's a shame, because before that, I should have just stopped.
Fuck that, I think this is good.
Yeah, it's all right.
I think one lonely round of applause. Wasn't that what you were after, trying to make one person
laugh?
Yeah,
it was, yeah. What I was trying to do is make people think, I wish I could go home. Why can't I really need the toilet?
I haven't done a
live
gig for a year, so I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, it's fine. We can stay and chest chat with the audience and get them confess their weird things about their parents.
Yeah, but it feels like this nut bar's about to pay out. We're so close. It's like in Time Team. Don't give up now, Rich. There's a stegosaurus under that rock.
Thank you for sharing.
But what else is in that crazy dome of yours?
Are you a Russell Howard fan? Or?
No. She's a Tricky Dicky Herring fan. I like my men like, you know, the characters in Lord of the Rings.
Have you come over from Canada especially for the podcast? And are slightly jet-lagged?
I've been here for about 2 months.
Been here for 2 months.
She's on tour with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Have you found...
Fuck you, Dad. Fuck you.
Wow, okay. We're being heckled by the ghost in the machine. It's a Shrek. It's Tim from The Office in the machine. I think that might be a sign.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think that might be a sign from Jesus Christ.
With a heavy heart. I've really enjoyed that.
Had a nice time. It's been an absolute treat.
I've just finished my telly show. I've been fucking
working
really hard.
Yeah, don't
stop
showing off.
I've loved this. It's been really good fun. Thank you so much for having me.
If you do another series of Russell Howard's Good News,
fucking munch. We haven't the budget anymore. They cut our budget.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a big round of applause for Russell Howard, ladies and gentlemen. And a shake. Thank you very much for coming. I think we'll be back in May. Good morning.
Listening to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guests, Russell Howard and a Shrek. Many thanks to the Shrek slave owner, Paul Putnam, for allowing me to use his a Shrek. Music was by Pest, thanks to Orange Mark and everyone at the British Comedy Guide and everyone at the fantastic Leicester Square Theatre. This was produced by Ben Walker. It's a Fuzz and Sky Potato production. Hopefully we'll be back in the summer 2013, if the Mayans aren't correct. Bye! How'd you like them Sky Potatoes? If you've enjoyed this show, then please go and buy some of my stuff. You can get tickets to the Talking Cock Tour, which is from February to June, all the way around the UK, at richtowning.com/talkingcock2. Or you can go to gofasterstripe.com and buy all the DVDs and all books and stuff. Fist of Fun Series 2 has just come out. What is Love Anyway? My last Edinburgh show. And there is a second volume of Warming Up in a book form, if you still like having things made out of paper, called The Box Lady and the Other Pesticles, which will be available very soon. And do go and listen to Ben, the producer's other podcast, which isn't as good as this one. Do the Right Thing, except it is this week because I'm in it. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.